We pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. A number of years ago, I was helping one of my smaller nephews when we were at a local elementary school during a basketball game. We were using the bathroom, and after we were done, we were getting ready to wash our hands. And I went over there and I said, "Hey, do you need some help reaching the soap?" And he looked at me and he said, "No." And he pointed at the sign on the wall. The sign was one of those you often see in an elementary school bathroom. It had steps to follow to wash your hands properly. And the sign said, "Water first." So he didn't need help with the soap yet. We had to wet our hands first and then put on soap. So we followed the directions. We did it correctly, and we washed our hands, and our hands were clean. Now, when washing your hands, there are, different ways of doing it, but you need to make sure you get all the steps right. Otherwise, your hands aren't going to be clean. If you skip over using soap, they may look clean. You may get them so you've rubbed off all the dirt, but if you hold them under an ultraviolet light, you're not going to be very happy with the result. So how do you get clean? Well, when we talk about our soul, the question is, how do we get spiritually clean? That's something that only God can do. Now, God spoke to his Old Testament people through the prophet Isaiah. They were observing all the ceremonies. They were doing all the outward things. They were using that water to wash their hands. They thought they were clean. But what does God say? We read from the very first chapter of Isaiah, chapter 1, beginning with verse 11. "What do your many sacrifices mean to me, says the Lord? I have more than enough rams as burnt offerings and enough fat from well-fed animals. I am not pleased with the blood of bulls or the blood of lambs and male goats. When you come to appear before me, who has asked for this from your hands, this trampling on my courts? Stop bringing worthless offerings. Your incense is an abomination to me. I cannot stand your sinful assemblies on the new moons, Sabbaths, and holy days. Deep in my soul, I hate your new moons and your appointed feasts. They have become a burden to me. I am tired of putting up with them." Now, it's pretty clear from this reading how God felt about what the children of Israel were doing, about all these sacrifices that they were bringing, all their assemblies, all the offerings. They were a burden to him. He hates them. Now, these are things they were doing in the Old Testament, but they're not that different from what we're doing today. We bring our offerings. We go to church. We put our offerings in the plate. We give to church. We fellowship with one another, and we observe the Christian holidays together. These are all good things. But why does God say that when Israel was doing these things, it was no good? Why did he say that his soul hates them? Well, this gets to the question of why. Why were they doing these things? Why are we doing these things? The children of Israel were doing these things in an effort to make up for the sins they were doing the rest of the week. They thought it was something that they were doing for God, that it was a way of making up for their sin. They were going through the motions one day a week, but the rest of the week they were following after their own desires and their own needs, going against God's commands. Does it sound familiar to us at all? Is our life outside of the church a reflection of our actions in that church? Do the things that we do and say the rest of the week match what we do and say here in chapel or when we go to church? For all of us, the answer is no. We fall short every day. And the result of this, God said for Israel, he went on in the next verse, when you spread out your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Even though you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. A result of their actions was that they were not able to pray to God. God did not hear. God did not listen. God did not answer their prayers. As he said, their hands were full of blood. So how can we wash our hands of that blood? How can we become clean? What Isaiah called Israel to do was to repent. Repent of their sins. That word repent means literally a changing, a turning around. Jesus told the people of his day, bear fruits worthy of repentance. Sorrow over sin. Sorrow of the fact that we have let God down. And the fact that he had to pay that price for us. In Israel, Isaiah went on to say, wash yourselves, purify yourselves, remove your evil deeds from my sight. Stop doing evil. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Relieve the oppressed. Seek justice for the fatherless. Plead for the widow. The result of this repentance is a desire to do God's will in our lives. A desire to follow his commands. Those actions in our lives. And this is evidence of what God has done for us. And the closing verse of our text is a very familiar one that you probably already know. Isaiah 1 verse 18, come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool. Yes, you are forgiven. You are clean. You have been washed. Not just by washing your hands or by doing outward actions, but by the blood of our Savior on our behalf. Now this week we had a little preview of what's coming for the rest of winter. We had a light dusting of snow, and looking out, I was commenting to my wife at how beautiful it is. She wasn't real happy to see it because she knows what's coming. Yeah, that little bit of snow melted, but we know there's probably several more feet of snow on the way. But that snow is a beautiful picture of what God does for us. That snow covers everything with that layer of white. So you can't even see the dirty ground anymore. You can't see what's underneath. And that's exactly what God does for us. What he did for Israel, and he promised them, it's exactly what he does for us. Covers us, makes us clean in his sight. We don't have to worry about all those times we've fallen short of his law. We repent of it because of what he's done for us. And because of what he's done for us, it's no longer in his sight. God, looking down from above, only sees that blanket of pure white, his son's righteousness covering us. We sing of this and give thanks and praise him. We use the words of verse of hymn number 609, verses 5 and 6.